and that your word would be proclaimed through your spirit divine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 I'm sure, how many of you have heard that many times this passage is used during Easter? We hear this story. I mean, every Sunday really is Easter, if you think about it, Resurrection Sunday. And emotions ourselves when we're seeking God and we're wondering where he is. Oftentimes people will say that. It seems like Jesus isn't there. Why does it seem that way? Why don't we, you know, see him? Or why does it feel like he's distant from us? Many times we ask that question. But I found there, the very first thing that I saw was pertaining to this problem with the two disciples was that, and of course this is disciples, and I'm not referring to apostles. Jesus had at this time, during his ministry, we read in one place he had 70 disciples. So he had many disciples. Many parted from him and separated when the crucifixion began, the arrest and things occurred following. Many people drifted away. Very common with human nature. They saw some doubts and people got scared and they drifted from him. But these two disciples were saddened. But here's one of the first reasons that they could not see Jesus. Think about it. Many times I've seen young people, when I was younger and sad about something, you know, sometimes we would play sad music. We know people that will play sad music. We know, I'm trying to not mention this. So I'm just going to say it anyway because I keep experience when you were younger and I was there before I was a Christian, sitting on that bar stool, listening to a sad song and mourning over that beer or whatever you were drinking. Maybe somebody can relate to that. Now, how could you possibly see Jesus when you're in that state? And that's what these people's state was, these disciples. And it says, and one of them, named Cleopas, he asked Jesus, are you the only person that doesn't know what's going on around here? He's questioning Jesus. And so he tells them, Cleopas tells them that these things had happened, and Jesus asked the question in verse 19, what things? Now, of course, we know that Jesus knows all things. He's God, and he knew exactly, you know, what was going on. He was asking them to sometimes think, you know, what does that thought concur? What does that create in our minds? It's when the pistons start turning and the, you know, fuel starts flowing after a question sometimes. Because we didn't consider that through that question, there was something we didn't think about. There was something we didn't hear that question. And so they go along and they tell Jesus all about what had happened. And then it gets down to verse 21, and this is the second thing, that stumbling block that limited them from hearing and seeing Christ. Verse 21 says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. They were hoping. Well, that's the second reason, not only their emotional state of being sad, but they had lost hope. They lost their hope. And of course, Jesus talking to them saw that they lost their hope. They lost their hope. They thought that everything, you know, and, you know, as Christians, I at times I've shared something along that line. I was hoping for something and some wise person, a Christian, would say to me, well, when God closes one door, he opens another. Right? And we know that. And that's all in the corner. I don't know exactly what it is. But as he speaks to my heart, surely I'm going to say what he's telling me to say from my heart. Surely you're going to see it as well as Christians. He's sure he's got a plan. But they were hoping and they lost that hope. And so they go on to say, the disciples go on to say, they told him what they were hoping. They explained who Jesus was. And then through verse 22, he goes on to talk about, they go on to talk about the confirmation. It says, but also some women among were amazing us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, and they came saying that they had also seen the vision of angels. There's more confirmation. Who said that he was alive? The angels did. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. So they went there to confirm that that was true. They were looking for facts on the surface, outwardly. And it all seemed to be true. But here's the third problem they had. And that's the bottom of verse 24. They said, these disciples said to Jesus, but him we did not see. They still were emotional, sad. They still had lost their hope. They had no hope. And now they're saying, it must not have been true because we didn't see him. And this is the point here where you can see, and this is where I was alluding to say, why didn't Jesus just show himself? What they were struggling with here, these Christians, was that they had no faith. They were seeking Jesus by physical sight and not by faith. Jesus is actually helping them. He's leading them spiritually to see him spiritually. You know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. It's when Jesus is, it's on this line where Jesus said when he was speaking to the books of the Bible, the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's the law. He's talking about the prophets, the major and minor prophets that they had, that Isaiah, Jeremiah, minor prophets, Jonah, you know, and others in there. That and he says also the Psalms, Jesus says. I'm just going to go ahead and read that a minute here so I'm not kind of chopping this apart here. These are Jesus' actual words. This is what he's conveying to these two disciples. He says, and this is he's speaking to his disciples afterwards. I'm jumping ahead here to say this is what he's talking about. Jesus said, these are my words which I spoke to you. I'm in verse 44 if you have your Bible. These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. They must be fulfilled. And so when you, and they weren't believing that. And so Jesus says to them, O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe, not to believe in what the prophets have spoken. Wednesday night, I mentioned, you know, I sometimes mention things, you know, on the cuff, you know, just talking. And some of the things I realize, some of the things that I say would leave a question mark and say, what are you talking about? Some of you are more bold than others. Cindy's a bold student in Wednesday night. And she said, she looks at me and says, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I love that. I'm saying that because I love that. You know, it brings the conversation in. She's looking for clarity. What does the word, show me what the word of God is saying there, right? And when I said there Wednesday night, I mentioned in on the cuff and just in the conversation how if we were to speak to Jesus today, some of us would think in person, if he was here today and he spoke to one of us or confronted us in some way, did the disciples, we might even say, wow, Jesus is really mean. Well, just suppose this, because this is how Jesus spoke to those people he loved, and he would speak to us today. If we're not looking to the scripture and understanding what it says, when we come to our conclusions, Jesus would stand the Old Testament, and that's not an interpretation. It's right here in black and white. That's why many of us don't understand the scriptures, because we don't understand what was said is being fulfilled. There are already some of the prophecies spoken are not fulfilled yet. The book of Daniel, for example. And we look in Revelations and other places in the Bible. But it comes down to this. It comes down to the fact that now Jesus afterward, and we know he said it out of love, that they were foolish. Okay, he reprimands them and lets them know why. Because they weren't following the word of God. Interesting, because at this point, this is so powerful, because when you look at what I'm saying here today, there's three things that occur when God speaks to our heart. We hear his word, then there's an invitation, right? We invite him because we have a free will. We're inviting him into our heart. And then we break bread, and so we have a relationship. That's why you have in church services sometimes, in a revival, in an evangelistic meeting. You know, it says, and they approached the village. Here they are, the two disciples and Jesus. They approached the village where they were going, and he acted, Jesus, acted as though he would go farther. He acted as though he would go farther. Notice the word there. I don't know what your Bible says, but here it says he acted. In other words, he had not intended to continue to walk, but he acted as if he was. Do you know why? Because he was waiting for them to invite him to stay. You see that? Same Jesus. I mean, this is relevant to our lives here today. The same Jesus that we can't see but know by faith, who we received as our Lord and Savior, he invites us. Otherwise, he keeps walking. It's not that he wants to keep walking. It's that we invite him to come in and dine. I can't help but think of Revelations 3:20. I know everybody has seen that painting, probably, of that verse of scripture where Jesus is knocking on a door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and dine with him and he with me. And the context of that scripture is Jesus knocking on the door to his church. Whenever the Bible talks about church, he's talking about, God is talking about his kingdom church, not just a building. We are the church, right? Individually, the kingdom of God is in our hearts. But God's kingdom, his church, he knocks on. I'll come in and dine. If you invite me in, I'll be glad to be here and be your Lord and Savior and be the Lord of this church. This part, Franklin Hill, this part of the kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus goes in and invites them. And this is after he started through the law and the prophets and explains to them as they were still walking before this point to tell them all the scriptures and what the scriptures were saying in the Old Testament, the law that was going to be fulfilled and now are fulfilled. But something had to happen. There had to be a response on their part. They invite him. This is something else that I realized when I was reading this scripture. God, of course, knew that they needed to receive Christ in order to see him. God knew that. But they still don't know that he's Jesus. And so God enables them to ask the question, will you stay, and as I invite you, will you stay here with me? God put that on their heart to say that. You see, what I'm saying, I don't want to confuse you on this. Sometimes, in other words, God wanted them to invite Jesus, but they didn't know any better to invite Jesus. So God gave them the grace to ask the question, stay with us, knowing that if they did ask him to stay with him, they would actually see him. You see, it goes back to, I mentioned Wednesday night of Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And this is along that same line. It says that we do not know how to pray as Christians. And what he was saying was that Paul was saying, we don't always know how to pray. But God, the Father, who searches hearts and minds, looks down and sees in your heart the Holy Spirit, who is revealing through your body, speaking through your body, God speak the Spirit, speaking to God the Father. I know we can't comprehend that. I know. God the Father, you look through the scriptures, God the Son is interceding for us. God's praying. Jesus is praying for you. He's interceding for you. The Holy Spirit is interceding. And so what I'm saying, where that would apply here to what I'm saying, is that they didn't know why they were even going to invite this man, who they don't know is Jesus, to stay. You see? But God knew that they needed him. And so God put on their heart to stay. They invited him. In other words, once you hear the truth of God, there has to be an invitation. And God helped them to bring them to that point, to invite Jesus. Now Jesus is sitting with them. They've heard the word of God. They're illuminated spiritually. They're probably getting encouraged at this point. Okay, now we see. Now I understand. The light's coming on. Get a little brighter and brighter and brighter. And now Jesus is there. He invites them. They invite Jesus. And now they break bread. You know, here in the scripture, there's two ways that Jesus inspired and illuminated their hearts: through the word of God and through the breaking of bread. And now they break the bread. You know what happens when they're breaking the bread after being illuminated with the word of God? They're taking their eyes off their sadness, off their loss of hope that they were feeling. They're taking their mind off that where they were. Jesus said they were slow of heart. They stop looking at themselves and their circumstances, and they're only looking. And this is where I'm sure every Christian here would attest that when we have communion and you're breaking that bread, our focus is on the bread and on the juice, that we're going to commune with God. They weren't thinking at this point of anything else. And then all of a sudden, their eyes are open and they see Jesus. And then Jesus vanishes. That means he disappeared. He's in a glorified body now. You know, it's amazing when the Bible says that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. What that means is that when we ask what's going to happen, people ask all the time, what happens when we die and we're in that glorified state? The same things we see Jesus did when he walked into the upper room right through the wall. And here he vanishes and he disappears right in front of them. He transports. We'll be in that same body. That's what we're seeing here. But to bring it to the close here of this, I'm Jesus. And Thomas gets all enlightened and fired up and says, my Lord and my God, you are Lord. And Jesus said, now here's the point. And Jesus says to him, you believe because you see me? Blessed me. That's you and I. This is what Jesus was trying to convey to these disciples. Blessed are those who believe without seeing with their eyes, but knowing in their spirit that he's Lord. And that's the message for today in this passage on the road. And you can think of every matter in your personal life, in your family's life, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, in this church, the direction of this church. We're on the road to Emmaus together. We're walking together. And Jesus is for sure right there. You don't have to question it. He's there. But sometimes the only way that we're going to truly see what God is saying is to trust in his word. And I am going to close with this thought, but over the years, I never really have gone. I've tried at times to go back to an old message and preach it. It just doesn't work because there's no spiritual enlightenment in it. It was said. And so I look to God for a message each Sunday. But I do remember one in Sussex. I'd only been preaching a couple of years. So this is going back 25 years or so. And the title of my message was Give God a Chance. And my point in the message was that no matter where we're at in life, you know, at times we know what the scripture, what the word of God says, but we're not necessarily applying it to our lives. And my point was, give God a chance as you read God's word, apply it and do it, even when it seems like it's not sensible or timely. Now, just one quick example. So you're at work and you feel God prompting your heart to share the gospel with somebody you're working with. And you're saying the devil's fighting it. And you say, no, don't do it. You're going to embarrass yourself. What are they going to think? You know what I mean? But you're just going to do it. You're going to give God the chance to say, well, God's told me, preach the word in season and out of season. So I'm going to do it. That's just one example. You're going to do it. And in that service, there was a grandmother. I've told stories to you before about Patsy, if you remember me telling the stories in Sussex about Patsy. And she brought her little granddaughter, was 8 years old. And that little girl, 8 years old, sometimes as a preacher, you don't know who's going to hear the message you have. And last thing I expected was a little 8-year-old girl. Don't remember her name, but I got a phone call later that afternoon and actually into the next week. Patsy called me and said, I don't know what God did in my granddaughter's heart, but she's telling everybody that she meets, even her teacher, God bless her, at school, and people in the community, give God a chance. Give God a chance, she was saying. And I thought about that too, because I'm almost there on this message, but it's important to realize this, that we sometimes give credit to evangelists or preachers or this or that. When God inspires his word, whether it's one sentence or one word, in this case, this little girl, give God a chance, was obviously anointed by God, and it was God speaking through those words, through that little girl, was touching lives. And it's not to the credit of man. God works through the agency of man, but the credit's not to him or her, it's to God who's speaking the word. And there is a lot more I'd like to say, but I'm going to close there on that thought. And that's a powerful thing about God, is that when it comes to faith, this is what he was looking for in the disciples. This is what he's looking for in us. And he works with us, like he worked with Cleopas and his companion, to bring them to that point of faith. That's where he's trying to bring us, to the point of faith, that we'll see and realize and perceive, that we'll give God a chance, that we'll believe on his word, that we'll step out in faith. And that's when we see God, when we do that. And I can attest to that, and you can attest to that. When you stepped out in faith, even when you defied all odds, when people looked at you cross-eyed like, you're nuts, you know, it's not going to work, you know, but God was working through it. And that's the test. That's always the test. Time always tells that if it is God, if it is his plan, if it is him working through it, and you are giving him all that chance that he's given you, and you're going to step out of faith, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. I can guarantee you that God's a faithful God. It gives me pleasure to say that about my Lord and Savior, that he's God is faithful. He's been faithful in my life. He's been faithful in your life. He'll never let you down. He'll never allow you to go astray. Just keep trusting in him and looking to him, and God will work things out for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your blessing on us here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray you plant that seed in our hearts here today. I know the enemy is going to be following right behind like a turkey, trying to pluck up the words. Defeat the devil. Defeat Satan in our lives, Lord, where he'll try to discourage us or deter us from your word. May we continue as, Lord Jesus, you taught your disciples to believe in your word, to follow your word, to obey your word, and that by doing so, we would find that peace that passes all understanding in our lives as you guard us and protect us. May we go on through this day, Lord, being enlightened and spending that quality time with you, Lord, where you'll touch our hearts and restore us and encourage us. And I do pray, Lord, those there may be some here who have a burden in their heart, Lord, that you'd heal that burden in their heart, that they'd turn to you, Lord. You just would, if a person here is feeling that here right now, that you just release that burden. Take the promise from God's word this morning, which says, cast all of your anxieties upon him, for he cares about you. And if somebody here is going through a healing process physically, and Lord, that you'd reach down and touch them, and whatever you're going to do in their life. We didn't know what you were going to do in Art's life this past week. He seemed to be in good health, but you took him home, and we have confirmation of his testimony and saying that he believed in you and walked with you and knew you. And now he's home with you, Lord. And so, Lord, bless each person here now. Bless the families they represent. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're able to.